This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, the show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Hello and welcome to Well, Well, Well. You're listening to Murray, and once again I'm joined by the fabulous Jack. And also in the studio we have today our newest member of the Well, Well, Well team, Anthony. How are we going, guys?
I'm pretty good, and it's good to see you here, Anthony, as well.
Oh, thanks, and thanks for having me on the show, guys. Actually, can I just send out a cheerio while I...
No.
We don't do this on this show.
My niece, who's 12, who just graduated from grade 6 last night, who did a great job in her speech, I just wanted to say hello to her. I know she's listening with Stephanie, so hi to Anthony and Stephanie.
Well done.
And Anthony, you've just graduated too from the Taste of Radio course, haven't you?
I have, so I'm officially allowed to be in the room with you guys.
Well, welcome aboard, welcome aboard. The Well, Well, Well team.
Thank you.
Now, later in the show, we'll be talking to you at length as well, Anthony, but we'll be also talking to Gabby Tyack. Gabby's from the Victoria Police, and she's a GLOW officer. That is the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers. And if you don't know what that's about, stay tuned, because she'll talk at length about her role with GLOW and the Victoria Police and the intersection between VAC, the Victorian AIDS Council, and the Vic Police.
And a big thanks to Gazman, who was before us and he's brought us in today. Now, I've got a note here to thank the panellist today, who actually helps us with the show, but it's me. So you guys need to be thanking me.
Thank you, Murray.
But we're also ably assisted by Chris, just to oversee what we're doing, which buttons you're pushing and which ones I'm not pushing. How are we today, anyway, on Tuesday? This is a bit of an inclement day. It's 19.5 degrees. What have you been doing over the past week before we get started?
Well, we had our volunteer Christmas party on the weekend.
Yep.
Which was a huge success. We had all of our volunteers come down to our Positive Living Centre and we celebrated. But we also we had a lot of our volunteers that came late because they had other Christmas parties. It seemed to be the day for Christmas parties.
There's
on the weekend.
Too many Christmas parties on, if you ask me. And also, last week we had Buck Angel visiting Melbourne, and he came to VAC again talking about trans issues and trans man issues. And he was, apart from being at the VAC and showing his documentary, he was also at a couple of venues, late night venues, and doing a show. And that's, we were caught up with him there, Anthony, at the...
Yes, that's right.
One of the venues.
Was it a good night?
It was a great night. I got to meet Buck for the first time, and it's a night I'll never forget, let's just put it that way.
And one I won't forget either, Anthony. Anyway, but there's a serious side to the show today, and we'll be talking about some very important issues. Murray, do you...?
That's right. We're examining relationship violence, and we're looking at how it manifests itself in forms and what we can do individually and as a community.
And, Anthony, you have a project underway, don't you, in regard to...
That's right.
Relationships and violence.
Yes. Yeah, so we have a group that's starting at the Victorian AIDS Council on the 28th of January, which is the Men's Behaviour Change Program. This is a group for men who use abusive behaviours in their relationships and want to stop doing so.
Okay.
So they can attend this group.
So we'll talk at length about that shortly. But we'll be looking at how it manifests itself in its many forms and what we can do perhaps individually and collectively as a community about violence in same-sex relationships.
Yes.
That's right. So we'll be talking to Anthony. We've got a song first, of course, and then we'll be talking to the wonderful Gabby. And we've had Gabby on before. Last week, was it, Murray, or a couple of weeks ago? A
couple of weeks ago. We're old friends, Anthony, with her.
Gabby's brilliant, and she's a great representative of the GLBTI community in Vic Police, and she'll have a lot to say about relationship violence and the law.
Now, I tuned out there, guys, because I'm looking at my running sheet.
That's
Did we
okay.
actually say how people can get in contact
with
us?
No.
How can people get in contact with us?
You can like us via facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. Or speak to us, call us on 1300-JOY-949, send us an email onair@joy.org.au, or send us an SMS 0427-JOY-949, or you can even tweet us if you've got the energy at wellwellwelljoy. Coming up next is a song called Insatiable by Darren Hayes. Do you want to tell us about Darren? And insatiable. Darren, he's an out and proud Aussie expat based in London and a former lead singer of Savage Garden.
This is Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening. This is Well, Well, Well.
This is Well, 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 as that lady just said on Joy 94.9, and that was Insatiable by Darren Hayes, a really good song. Now, joining Murray and myself in the studio today, we've got a special guest and a terrific colleague of ours, Anthony Lecker.
He only gets that title for 1 week, special guest, because after that he's just a regular old host.
You'll be tired like us.
I've been called worse than regular, sir.
Well, that's true. Now, Anthony, you're from the counselling service at VAC. It's good to have you here at long last after you've done the training for Taste of Radio.
Yes, yes, thanks for that. And I'm excited to be here also because we're going to be discussing a really important topic, a topic that's almost often disregarded in the mainstream sector, I think, when we talk about violence in relationships.
And so what is that topic?
So we're talking about violence and abuse that occurs in same-sex relationships. So when you hear me or Jack or Murray talk about relationship violence, we might use the term domestic violence or family violence. Mm-hmm. So we'll be using these terms interchangeably, but basically we're talking about the same thing.
Now,
so
that's closely linked to the work that you do at VAC. Do you want to just maybe outline what your role is?
Sure. So I'm part of the counselling services team where we provide counselling to individuals and couples from the members of the GLBTI community or anybody living with HIV or family or friends of people living with HIV. So we cover a broad range of sort of presenting issues, anything from anxiety and depression and stress to other types of life issues, including violence in same-sex relationships.
Now, Anthony, to commence, exactly what is meant by relationship violence, and what is it, and perhaps what isn't it?
There are a lot of definitions out there about mm-hmm. how to define family violence, and I guess one of the sort of more common types of behaviours that we know that constitute family violence are things like physical abuse and sexual abuse and things like, you know, property damage and making threats to life. These things are probably known to be abusive and violent behaviours because they exist in the Crimes Act and they are considered criminal offences. Mm-hmm. And there are other forms of behaviours that are also considered family violence which aren't so clear-cut in the eyes of the law, and they're things like emotional abuse, psychological abuse, social abuse, financial control, and what we also know as spiritual abuse. And
spiritual abuse.
Yeah, what's spiritual abuse?
Well, spiritual abuse is when perhaps one partner might be preventing his partner from practicing his spiritual beliefs, or there might be one partner might be misusing scriptures in a way to sort of control and dominate their partner.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's some examples.
It wouldn't have occurred to me.
Yeah, is there any research underway in regards to this area?
In terms of sort of violence and abuse just broadly within the within same-sex relationships, there isn't a lot of information in terms of research, and the literature is largely representing heterosexual relationships. And I think that's often one of the issues in this community, that people aren't often sort of identifying their relationships as abusive, if in fact they are, because when we think about family violence and domestic violence, we think of a woman being abused by a male in a heterosexual relationship.
So it's quite overt.
There's a bit of stigma around, you know, if a male comes forward and says, my male partner is abusing me.
Right. Well, if he does have the courage to come forward to say that, because there are a range of barriers that get in the way to prevent people who are victims of family violence to come forward to seek help, as well as perpetrators as well. I mean, people who are using violence against their partners, they may know that their behaviours are not right. They might want to do something about that. But because the sector is largely tailored to accommodate to, you know, male perpetrated violence to women and children, they often don't know where to go.
So what would people do if they were experiencing violence in either a more overt or subtle way that you've outlined? What could people do?
Well, one of the probably most critical things to keep in mind is that if you are concerned about your immediate safety, call 000. Police response is the most appropriate response in that regard. If you're not sure, if you're starting to sort of wonder about your relationship and you're starting to sort of change your behaviours or change the way you say or do things at home, not to set your partner off, if you're starting to sort of, in a way, take responsibility for your partner's behaviours, and you aren't sure about whether or not this means it's an abusive relationship or not, then I'd encourage you to call the Victorian AIDS Council. You can speak to myself or one of the other counsellors, and we have a fairly thorough assessment process where we can look at what are the risks to this person's safety and what sort of support is required.
So what about if you were on the flip side to that? So you're actually the person that was causing the violence. You mentioned earlier there to get in contact with you as well. What kind of screening would they go through?
Well, they'd go through the same type of screening where we'd sort of ask all sorts of questions about the nature of the relationship, the types of behaviours that are being used, and also whether there's been any sort of involvement with sort of drugs and alcohol, any criminal histories, any previous or current intervention orders. I mean, these are all things that indicate to us whether or not a relationship is at risk of abuse or further abuse. But to any guys out there who are thinking, you know I've behave pretty shitty in my relationship and I'm not proud of it, but I constantly find myself reacting in this way, I guess I just want to appeal to that guy. You know, there is help out there, and it does take a lot of courage to come forward, and we do provide a very ethical and respectful service to be able to offer very, effective skills and techniques for you to try to make your relationship safer, not just for your partner but for yourself as well, because you might end up finding yourself getting in trouble with the law at some point.
Now, Anthony, we were talking the other day about more subtle ways, and you mentioned that the threat of outing can be seen as a form of abuse and potential violence just by outing somebody's sexuality to a workplace or family or friends and stuff like that. It's something, again, that people need to think about.
Absolutely, and I think in terms of definitions, I mean, threatening to out someone or threatening to disclose their HIV status are these sorts of things that are specific to the GLBTI community that don't happen in straight relationships. But any sorts of behaviours that causes another person to feel intimidated, coerced, or controlled by their partner could be considered abusive.
And do you have many people coming to in regard to these violent and potentially threatening situations?
We have the revisioning program, which is the men's behaviour change program, which is the group for men who use abuse in their relationships, has been running since, I think, 2005, I think.
Lengthy then.
Yeah, it's the only, it's actually the only men's behaviour change program that is offered to the gay and bisexual men throughout Australia. So it's quite a unique group. And these men's behaviour change programs are run throughout Australia and mainly in mainstream services for heterosexual relationships.
Is there much difference between how abuse plays out in the heterosexual community compared to the gay community that you're aware of?
The only differences are the way some behaviours are used to dominate and control and intimidate your partner, like we mentioned earlier, like threatening to out your partner.
Yeah, it's a subject matter.
But the experience of fear by the individual who is subjected to those behaviours, I would imagine that would be the same for any of us. I mean, nobody would like to live in fear. Nobody would like to have to second-guess their behaviours, not to, you know, inverted commas, set their partner off. So I think the experience of fear in the relationship is the measure of sort of, you know, how you think you're tracking.
And sometimes, is it called the battered wife syndrome? Sometimes people aren't aware of the abusive situations they fall into by default or by stealth almost, that becomes the norm. And everyone needs a wake-up call to look at it.
I'm just sort of thinking as you're sort of talking about this, what about some people that have maybe come out, they're in their first relationship and they've got no sort of way to sort of, you know, work out whether the comparison of it sort of it, like Jack says, accepts this. Well, you know, if I want to be gay, then this is what I have to accept.
That is a great point, and we know that is also one of the myths about violence in same-sex relationships, that some people might conclude, well, this is what happens in a gay relationship, you know, mm-hmm. this is something I've got to accept, and that's not the case.
Sure.
Well, listen, you're on Joy 94.9, and this is Murray, Jack and Anthony on the Well 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 show, talking, discussing relationship violence, but we're going to go to a song now, It's All Right by Denny Hines. That's right, this is Well 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 on Joy 94.9, and we are speaking with Anthony Lekas, the newest member of the Well 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 team, about a very serious and real issue in our community, relationship violence.
Now, Anthony, you were talking to us just a moment ago about people, what people can do about any relationship violence they may be experiencing, and one of those was to contact police. Now, you work closely with Victorian Police in trying to reduce and minimise situations that may escalate. What exactly is the working relationship you have with the Victoria Police?
Yes, so the Victoria Police, and in particular the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer, Gabby Tyack, who's with us in the studio now, we often rely on her for some information and support around what our clients might be able to do if they do want to increase their safety by taking out an intervention order, and things like what to do if there's a breach of an order, you know, how to approach the courts, what does the process look like, and those sorts of things.
So welcome to the studio, Gabby.
Yeah, welcome. We last were around... Oh!
I love it.
Gabby's very...
Gabby, I got excited there.
We were last talking to you about White Ribbon Day and violence against women just a couple of weeks ago, a week ago?
Yes, I think it was the 20th of November, 25th of November, okay. So not too long ago.
So welcome to this broader issue around same-sex relationship violence.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Anthony, you were talking about the work you do with Gabby, but perhaps I can ask Gabby to inform our listeners of the role of a GLOW officer.
Sure. Well, GLOWs have been around since 2000, so nearly 15 years now. And we came about because the community approached Victoria Police stating that they felt that they didn't feel safe coming to the police, that they weren't, their needs weren't met, they weren't listened to, and that they were probably quite hesitant to approach police about any issue, given the history that police have had with the community prior to that. Mm-hmm. So obviously, before 1981, being a homosexual was a criminal offence in Victoria. So, I mean, that doesn't sit well with the police going around and arresting people for being gay, basically.
No, it doesn't. And it was a mental illness as well.
Yes, absolutely. So there's been a lot of work done to mend that and repair that relationship, and GLOWs came about simply because there was a need for us to encourage people and let them feel like it's a safe place to come to. So if you don't want to go to the police for numerous reasons, the GLOWs are there to be a support service, to assist you, to give you advice and to help you report crime.
Okay, and how many are there?
Well, I'm the only full-time one.
Oh.
And we're reviewing GLOWs at the moment. We've got about 40-odd around the state who do it as a portfolio, so it's kind of a part-time role added mm-hmm. to their normal policing role. Mm-hmm. But we've got a new division, which is, I think, coming up to its first year's birthday, okay. called the Priority Communities Division, which looks at all our priority communities, one of which is the LGBTI community. Okay. We've got aged, youth, mental health, mental illness, and disabilities, and multicultural. So they're our communities that we look at. And so they've been brought about as well simply because we feel the need that there needs to be extra work done in these areas mm-hmm. and with these communities.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really encouraging. I mean, it's great that the GLBTI community are going to get that particular focus on how police could be able to sort of respond and support to them in the community. I know it's probably hard to answer in terms of stats, but how many incidences would you guys respond to that involve same-sex relationship violence?
I don't have the stats, but the studies that have come out from Victoria and Australia and other countries suggest that family violence occurs in same-sex relationships as much as it does in heterosexual relationships. So I don't know if our stats match that or equal that, but that would simply be because of the fear of reporting.
Right.
Because you were discussing before why people in same-sex relationships may not report, and part of that is, well, if we're in a relationship that is looked down upon by the general society, then why would we do something to make us look even worse?
Yeah.
We don't want to out ourselves. There are numerous reasons.
The stigma upon stigma upon stigma.
Exactly.
And Gabby, do you do officers who attend, say, a property where there's an incident of domestic violence where police may have been called either by a partner or a neighbour or whatever, other than a sort of criminal justice kind of response, is there a sort of is there any sort of opportunities to offer them a sort of access to services?
Mm. I mean, when we attend any incident, if we're wondering whether it is family violence, because sometimes if you go to an incident where there's two males, two females, you might not be sure what the relationship is with that person. So we've done a lot of training with our recruits for a number of years on how do you approach that subject, because it can be quite uncomfortable. And we've given them a simple way to do that by saying, what's the nature of your relationship with this person? Mm-hmm. So you don't have to go, well, who are you and what's going on here? Yeah. You can, and that puts the other people at ease. Mm. So what was the question?
It's a huge hurdle to overcome.
Yeah, but just going on from that, Anthony, weren't you saying that the term family violence is, there was another term that we can use for it in the for our community?
Well, in our community, we use the term relationship violence, which actually just means domestic violence or family violence. And the word family, I guess, we moved away from using that word because that the word family conjures up all sorts of image of the sort of nuclear family with mum, dad and the kids. And we didn't want people in our community to feel that when this term was used, that this was something that didn't relate to them.
Yeah.
So I guess relationship violence is a more inclusive term.
Mm.
And it's interesting because a number of years back when we look at family violence laws, they changed what the meaning of family is within the law. So it didn't just mean husband and wife or male or female. It included same-sex relationships. It included all different kinds of relationships, extended relationships that often happen in multicultural families. Mm-hmm. So that was changed.
And Indigenous families too.
Exactly. Yeah. So it changed to include, to be more inclusive. But even now you move even become more inclusive by just saying relationship violence.
And the definition of family member in the Act also can even extend to housemates also, people living in the same house, is that right?
Yeah, someone who's dependent on another person as well.
Well, that's subtly gone under the radar, I think, this sort of change in definitions.
I mean, I think that came about 3 or 4 years ago. It's been around for quite a while, but it really was... When people went to court and said, I'm having a problem within my relationship for family violence, and they said, well, they're in a same-sex relationship, they had trouble taking out intervention orders and having any kind of action taken in the court system. So they needed to make that change.
Yeah, because otherwise the relationship wasn't recognised as a legitimate basis for action, I suppose.
Yeah, that's correct.
Any feedback, Murray, from anyone out there?
We do have one message, and I've read it and chuckled
just
to myself.
One.
Wendy
just one.
From Wanturna has said she loves Gabby and her pooch. She's a real daikon in the community. Is she single? She can arrest me any day.
Apologies to Gabby for...
thank you, Wendy.
Wendy from Wanturna, was it?
Yeah, Wendy from Wanturna.
Wow.
So you've got a fan out there at least.
Oh, thanks, Wendy. No, I apologise. Well, I don't apologise. I am. I'm very well taken. I'm engaged. So.
Oh, where's that round of applause button? It's too far away. Okay, we're going to go to a song now. What song are we going to go to, Anthony?
Well, actually, we're going to go to we're going to go way back to your era, Jack. Sorry.
Oh. What do you mean? What do you mean, my era?
But a great icon in our community, I might say, Copacabana by Barry Manilow.
Oh, I remember Barry. He still looks just the same as he did. He's frozen in time a bit, isn't he?
He's quite frozen. Yes.
Well, look, just to modernise it, it's the 1993 remix. This is Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy.
That's right. You're listening to Well, 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 and joining us today is our newest member of the Well, Well, Well team, Anthony from VAC, and we're also joined by Gabby from the Victorian Police, who is a GLOW officer. Now, you were talking about relationship violence. Is it possible that people may be in such situations but not quite realise?
Yes, and I think that might be common, and I think, as we said earlier, that the sort of being unsure about what the actual definition of family violence is and how to access support might be some of the barriers to sort of keeping informed about what you can do. But I guess some of the questions I might like to ask someone, if you're sort of listening to this and you're the one who's perhaps using some hurtful behaviours towards your partner and you're starting to wonder about it, I'd ask you to consider if you're behaving in ways that are controlling your partner's decisions and always wanting to get your way, becoming really sort of agitated and reactive to little things and exploding. If you're always kind of acting like the boss or finding it difficult to express your feelings and sort of exploding and using sort of hurtful behaviours to your partner. And then if you're finding yourself constantly apologising perhaps for some of these behaviours and feeling, I mean, this can be quite a vicious cycle to be caught up in, you know. So I just want to say that there is support out there, and we do know that if these things aren't adequately addressed early enough, they actually do get worse, they don't get better. So, you know, our group Revisioning, it's the Men's Behaviour Change Program for Gay and Bisexual Men. It starts on the 28th of January. You will need to attend an assessment before being given entry into the group. We need to determine your eligibility. So even if you're unsure, come in for the assessment. We can have a sort of look around and ask some questions about what's going on, and then we can sort of determine whether or not the group is for you or perhaps maybe another service.
Yeah, I really encourage it, because if you or your partner is experiencing any of these behaviours, it's a great thing to really recognise it early on, or talk to your partner about it and see if you can get some help, because over time, family violence and these behaviours tend to get worse until eventually they can become physical assaults.
And just to add on what you were saying, Anthony, it's a non-judgmental space. People won't be judged if they call up and identify that they are displaying some of these behaviours.
Mm. Absolutely, because, I mean, I've run these groups for the last 5 years, mainly in sort of mainstream services, but the men that come to these groups are incredibly brave, and they're often very anxious and worried about their feelings around embarrassment and shame at these behaviours, and having to talk about them in a group can be very confronting, but these groups are quite powerful, they're very educational, and I've got a lot of faith in them. I'm passionate about this work, and I'd encourage anyone to sort of come along, and I'm sure you get something out of it.
Just a question to both of you, Anthony and Gabby. In the heterosexual world, would it be correct to say most perpetrators are male?
Well, in general, the statistics say so. Okay. Just simply because those behaviours are more often likely displayed by their male attributes a lot of the time, being the stronger person, the tougher person, getting their own way. That's what people think of as male attributes. So, yes, that's what our statistics show. But certainly women commit family violence as well. Men commit family violence against men. So everyone's capable of doing it. And if you can address these issues early on, you'll get a much healthier and happier relationship.
Well, the other side of that coin I was going to ask is in the gay community, would it still be a male domain? Or is it broader than that? And women are also perpetrators in the gay community?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Women are also perpetrators in same-sex relationship violence, for sure. Mm. Again, I don't know the statistics, but it happens. I've had a number of calls over the years that I've been doing this job of women who are victims of family violence, with the partner being another female, and being quite violent, attacks as well.
Yeah, and I guess any relationship dyad, whether it's a grandmother and a grandson, any relationship where one person uses behaviour to control, dominate, intimidate or coerce the other person could be considered abusive.
Sure.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being on Joy 94.9. On Joy 94.9.
Joy, joy, joy.
Yes, and welcome back to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. It's now 12:50 exactly, and you're listening to the best radio station in all of Australia, Joy 94.9.
The best.
Mm. Now, back to topic. Mm. I'm really curious. It's interesting talking about same-sex domestic or relationship violence. I'm wondering what kind of refuges we have available for same-sex people.
You're looking a bit stunned there, Gabby.
I don't have the answer on me, unfortunately.
I actually rang the Domestic Violence Resource Centre because I had a client who was literally homeless because his partner had refused to let him back in the house and took his car and house keys off him. We didn't actually know where to go. Domestic Violence Resource Centre is a great resource to get information and other referrals, and they were able to provide a range of other options. Mm. But in terms of how to respond to someone who's homeless or needing to escape a relationship violence situation immediately, I think the police, are they able to put someone up in a hotel room for a couple of days when they respond to an incident?
My understanding is yes, that we do have the resources for that. Most of the services available are for women because that's the majority of the victims of family violence. So when we have someone looking for a refuge, there's numerous for women. For men, as offenders, sometimes they're put up in hotels. Sometimes the male victims are because there aren't the refuges for them.
Right. So it is a bit of a gap in the system.
It does. It highlights a bit of an issue there.
It's a social issue that needs to be sort of looked at in some way.
Yes.
So is there any push or aim for establishing such a safe place? As I imagine some issues may be different for the heterosexual community?
Look, Gabby?
Well, I know that Victoria Police is doing a huge amount of work around family violence and relationship violence, and we're putting together new teams to try to work with government and agencies to make sure that we are giving more assistance. And for those new services, we'll be looking at other types of relationships and other people that need the assistance that aren't getting it.
Now, do you think drugs and alcohol, maybe, Anthony, you can talk about this a bit, play a significant part in domestic violence, or is it really just a behavioural issue in terms of relationship inequity, if you like?
It's both. It's definitely a behavioural issue, and family violence is a choice. I think that's the point that needs to be made fairly clearly.
Okay.
Alcohol and drugs do not cause violence, because if they did, that means any time any of us would have a drink, we'd be out there using violence. It is still a choice. I understand that alcohol and drugs can make an individual's behaviours a bit more problematic.
Exacerbate the problem.
Mm.
They might, yes, and they're it might make it more difficult for them to regulate their emotions like anger and those sorts of things. So there is a strong association with the two, with alcohol and violence, and we do see that in the assessments that we do when men are coming to the program. So there is a connection there, but it is not a cause, and I think that's one thing that needs to be made very clear.
It's interesting. Sorry, just going back to White Ribbon Day with violence against women, there was a major, one of the main alcohol outlets that were selling the white ribbons at... So I think that relationship between alcohol and potential violence towards women was very clear, I think.
I think they're taking the responsibility to say that they do see that link and that we all have to take responsibility to look after each other, and if we're drinking, not to drink too much. But another point to make also is about victims of relationship violence, that the victim is never the responsible for that other person's violence. And then you need to remind yourself of that you're not doing anything to cause someone treating you that way. It's the other person's issues that are occurring that are making them behave in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And can I just throw in quickly, at VAC we have a drug and alcohol service specifically for people who want to address their substance use or substance abuse. So even if it's, whether it's relationship violence or even issues around alcohol or drug use, feel free to call in VAC and we have a service for you.
Absolutely. This is Joy 94.9. We're going to go to some of our sponsors now, who we can't produce the show without, so please support them by supporting They Support Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy.
That's right. This is Well, 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 Well on Joy 94.9, and each week we talk about topics relating to sex, health and well-being. And if you have a subject you'd like us to cover, please drop us a line at facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy or contact either myself or Murray or the team at VAC 9865 6700.
What is the hour go?
I know,
it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. I've been pressing all the buttons today, so I'm going to give myself... Don't you just love it?
Well deserved, Murray.
Murray's very affirming.
He's very affirming to himself.
There we go. Let it play out.
Okay. Now, it's a very long applause, if I may say so. Now, Anthony, once again, how can people contact you if they want to become involved with your project?
Yes, the Men's Behaviour Change Program for gay and bisexual men. Yep. Any guys out there who are using violence or abuse in their relationships that want to do something about it, again, that number, VAC is 9865 6700, or you can email us at inquiries@vac.org.au.
So what usually happens, just if someone's sort of contemplating, oh, maybe I should call, maybe I should make that step, what would happen if they called?
Well, if they called, it would probably be either myself or the other facilitator of the program, where we'd make an appointment, we'd set up a time to meet and run through an assessment where we'd just ask some standard questions about the relationship. And even if you weren't sure whether or not your relationship was an abusive one, we could sort of have that discussion with you just to look at the levels of risk and sort of breaches of safety and that sort of thing.
Mm. It's been a great topic.
Yeah, it's been a rich tapestry.
And please, if you are suffering from relationship violence, can you talk to someone, seek assistance, go to the police, just do something, because don't suffer in silence and don't become the next statistic, unfortunately, because a large proportion of people who are murdered within this country, that's done by a current or previous partner.
Wow.
Pretty grim statistic.
That's a great point.
You're on Joy 94.9, and thank you, Gabby, very much. And
thank
Anthony.
You.
It's been terrific and really a fascinating subject to unpack.
Yes, thanks for having us.
That's okay. Well, no, Anthony, you're a regular now.
Well, I am, but
you're not a special guest.
But Gabby and I are sort of buddies in this field now. So we've been on the second time now on Joy together.
Yeah.
So it's been great to do that again.
Thanks for having me.
And even if you did insult me by saying I need to go back to the 50s or something in
Jack,
regard to my era.
I think he said 40s, but
that was a compliment, Jack.
I've just had a hard life.
I love Barry Manilow.
I've had a hard life. That's why I've got silver hair.
Listen, next up we have Adam. This has been the Well, Well, Well show on Joy 94.9. We will see you next week. Same time, same great station, and same show. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.